I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space, a home, an island for independent thinkers. So thanks for joining me today. I'll start off today's show. Quotes of the day today. Here's one from Frank Zappa. The United States is a nation of laws, badly written and randomly enforced. Frank Zappa, actually, quite a quote maker himself. George Carlin. I've got a clip from George Carlin I'm going to play. I was unable to edit it this weekend. Technically, I had some difficulties, but you have to pretty heavily edit for FCC George Carlin clips. But I've got a good George Carlin clip. But for right now, I've got a quote from George Carlin. If you vote, you have no right to complain. You wanted a master, and you got one. There was a story by a guy named Rob Slane, S-L-A-N-E, and he wrote, "We have now had nearly 9 months of being treated like utter imbeciles. A once great country with a once free people has been reduced to the level of being governed by pathetic, childish slogans. And for some reason, we have allowed ourselves to be infantilized." And I think that is the absolute word for it. We're treated like children. We behave like children. And this is where we find ourselves. And then I've got a rare, I call this an audio quote. It's a, it's actually Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he does a lot of work on, he does environmental issues. He also does a lot of stuff on the vaccines. And so he's certainly working full time these days. The push on the vaccines. We'll certainly talk about some of that today. But I found this clip of RFK Jr. And what's interesting is what his father, now his father was Robert F. Kennedy, the attorney general under JFK, and then running for the presidency before he was shot, supposedly by Sirhan Sirhan. But I played clips before that show that actually he was shot from the opposite side of his body. So his father was assassinated. But I thought this was interesting because his father gave him basically gave him kind of a heads up before he died.
My father told me when I was a child, people in authority lie. And we all, if we are going to continue to live in a democracy, we need to understand that people in authority lie. People in authority will abuse every power that we relinquish to them. And right now, we are giving them the power to micromanage every bit of our lives 24 hours a day. They're going to know where we are. They're going to know the money that we spend. They're going to have access to our children. They're going to have the right to compel unwanted medical interventions on us. We, you know, the Nazis did that in the camps in World War II. They tested vaccines on gypsies and Jews. And the world was so horrified after the war, we signed the Nuremberg Charter. And we all pledged when we do that, we would never again impose unwanted medical interventions on human beings without informed consent. And yet in 2 years, all of that conviction has suddenly disappeared. And people are walking around in masks where the science has not been explained to them. They are doing what they're told. They are these government agencies are orchestrating obedience. It is not democratic. It's not the product of democracy. It's the product of a pharmaceutical-driven biosecurity agenda that will enslave the entire human race and plunge us into a dystopian nightmare where the apocalyptical forces of ignorance and greed will be running our lives and ruining our children and destroying all the dreams and dignity that we hope to give to our children.
And there you go. Again, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, this is kind of one of the things I bring up on this show. Give me a honest liberal over a pandering anybody else, and I'll take it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., one of those. He's a Democrat, considers himself liberal, but he's got some classic liberalism where he's actually for freedom and other things. There's certainly things that Robert F. Kennedy and I would probably disagree on. But he's an honest man with actual convictions, and he lays this out for us. He just does fantastic work on the vaccines. I got into quite a bit of debate. I have one guy, a friend of mine. He is he keeps my debating skills up. We have long, sometimes heated debates, but we always leave every phone call laughing or whatever. It doesn't matter. We get into the battle, then we change the subject at some point, and we talk, and we've been friends now for about 45 years. We got talking yesterday about the vaccine because I just asked him, I just don't understand why people want to take something that is so experimental. And he said, well, it's not experimental. I mean, we know what vaccines do. And I said, well, no, that's not true. This is a different kind of technology. We've never used a vaccine like the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. And we got pretty deep into that. I don't know if I changed his mind. I rarely do. It usually takes me 3 or 4 years to change this particular guy's mind. But some people, you know, you need to come to it yourself. But I ran across this. There actually had, and I thought I had clipped this to see when this was, but Yale, the U.S. federal government and Yale were tasked with conducting a study to look at how to convince people to take the vaccine. Now, this was not a study at Yale of the efficacy, of the safety, of anything else. It was strictly a look at what is the best messaging to get people to adopt this vaccine. And let me tell you, here are the topics that they covered at this Yale thing. They had a control message, a baseline message. Then they started getting into what could we do that would be most convincing to people to take this vaccine. Now, look, if there are people out there who really truly believe in their heart, I would disagree with you entirely, but if you believe in your heart that it is so important that every American get vaccinated so we can get past this, then, you know, these are the kinds of things you would explore. So it's not necessarily evil that they did this, but I think it is good for people to know exactly when you're watching the messaging coming out of the mainstream networks, out of CDC authorities, out of the FDA, out of Health and Human Services, everybody who gets behind a microphone and tries to convince you that you need this vaccine to get back to normal. I want you to just understand they've studied these things. It's like a focus group. This is what politicians do. They don't say things out of conviction. They don't say things out of truth. And to go back to RFK's thing, he said powerful people, people in power lie. They just lie. So here's the topics that they looked at, just weighing what is the best pressure point to put on people to get them to adopt this mass vaccination. There was the personal freedom message. The translation to that is, we'll let you move about your life. If everybody gets the vaccine, you can start going to the movies again. There was the economic freedom message. If everybody gets the vaccines, we'll let you open your businesses again. You'll be able to go back to work again, but only if you get the vaccine. There was the self-interest message, you know, that's the typical one. This is good for you. It protects you from the virus. You certainly need to get it. The community interest message, this is the one that's especially nefarious to me. I've never seen something I think probably so psychologically damaging as framing this virus and everything that we're doing in that you are responsible for the deaths of other people just by your existence, by possibly being seen out in a mask, by going and visiting a loved one and a loved one gets sick. They don't know that they got it from you, but because you traveled to their home for Thanksgiving, should they get sick and be hospitalized and, God forbid, die, it is on you. This is just, we are all guilty unless we follow every rule to the letter, regardless of what the effectiveness of it. Masks don't work. But if you don't wear the mask, if you don't wear the mask that doesn't work, you're somehow committing a crime against our elderly people. There's the economic benefit message, the guilt message. So they studied this at Yale. In cooperation with our federal government, they studied the guilt message. How can we guilt people into taking a vaccine, an experimental vaccine? The embarrassment message, the anger message, the trust in science message, and the not bravery message. I didn't see an explanation of what not bravery is. But we can imagine maybe you should be shamed for being some kind of a coward for not taking the shot. I'm not really sure what it is. But this was a study done at Yale with the U.S. federal government to make sure that we adopted this large-scale experimental vaccine. They could just honestly inform us of the risk versus benefits. But there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, they think we're too stupid to make up our own mind with just being laid, you know, the facts being laid out. I think, I can't speak for everybody, but I kind of feel like after 9 months, we're pretty up to speed on what we're dealing with when it comes to COVID. To a man, woman, and a child, as my next clips will show you, we kind of get it now. We got it. We know what we're dealing with. But they can't just inform us of this. And the other problem with just informing us about the risk versus benefits is that they don't know the risks. They refuse to say this. They have no earthly idea what the long-term ramifications of a vaccine that sends messenger RNA into your bloodstream. They have no idea. I'm sure there's theoretical. I'm sure there's been some ideas on the fact that this is not going to hurt you or that it will hurt you or whatever, but there is no long-term safety data, and they did skip the animal studies this time around. And it's convenient that they were able to skip the animal studies this time around in Operation Warp Speed. Thanks, Donald Trump. Because the last time they did animal studies when it came to a coronavirus vaccine that they were trying years ago, it did not go well. I'll just put it that way. The animal studies turned out to not go well at all. But they think we're too stupid to just take in facts and make up our own minds, so they need to convince us. They need a focus group, a message, test it out, see what works. This is propaganda. And I do find it a little interesting. I have watched endless coverage of this stuff. I've gotten to where I'm sick of it, no doubt about it. But how is it that on every single network, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, how is it possible there is not one single expert that is not completely 100% pro-vaccine? I have not heard one single expert on any of these outlets, local or national television, local or national print media of the mainstream variety, not one single person that says, if you're in a high-risk group, you might want to consider this, but for everybody else, we might just want to wait and see. This is brand new. This is not even a vaccine, doesn't even have a permit. It's just an emergency use authorization. Not one single doctor can be found to go on any of the mainstream media to say, I'd like to urge a little caution and a little bit of a wait and see. We really didn't get to test this thing real well. We've never used this technology before. We might want to err on the, you know, just see. I mean, for you people that are under 45, I mean, I really don't see why you would take an experimental vaccine. Not one single doctor comes on television to urge a little bit of caution. Out of the entire U.S. population, there is nobody. Now, they've talked about a couple of little side effects here or there. But every, air quotes here in the studio, expert that they have brought on all of these channels, there's nothing but 100% behind the fact that this must be done, must be adopted by everybody, and is perfectly safe, when the truth of the matter is they have no idea the long-term effects of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. It's amazing to see. Equally amazing is the new round of propaganda, particularly around Christmas. This is incredibly sad. This is, again, it's like climate change. We are terrorizing our children. I've got a couple of clips with these health Nazis interacting with our children. This is especially sad to me. I'll do that when I come back, Steve.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I would say one of the things that most people should understand at this point is that we are being led by guesses or lies, not science. They call it science. They tell you the science has settled on all kinds of things. They just this became very effective on climate change, and they have taken that idea that as soon as you say the word science, then anybody that disagrees with it is suddenly some kind of a ignoramus. Yeah, but you can't deny the science. These are guesses. You've heard about this new strain. The new strain in Europe. Well, in England. A bunch of countries have shut down travel from Great Britain. Andrew Cuomo up in New York is saying, oh, they're on the planes right now into JFK with this new strain. And it's being reported as this very, very serious, much more contagious strain of COVID. There's been no evidence of that. It is at best some level of a guess. In every news story I saw, the headline, the intro to the story was new strain in Great Britain causing people to lock down. They're on lockdown for something like 2 months in England. I don't know what has happened to our brothers and sisters over in England, but they better get control of their government. And toot sweet, they're in big trouble over there, and we better watch for it here, too. Unfortunately, there's so many lemmings out there that it's a relatively few of us that would fight back for things like personal freedom. But they've rolled this thing out. They're calling it 75% more contagious, this mutation. You know what viruses do? Viruses mutate. The slogan of the Mike Madison Show is, virus gonna virus. Masks don't work. Lockdowns don't work. Closing restaurants don't work. Switching to takeout food doesn't work. Virus gonna virus. Carl Hennigan, this is again in England where they have done a 2-month shutdown based on, and this is what happened in England that is so shocking too. Essentially, it was 8 hours after they announced this new strain. They gave everybody 8 hours before what is potentially a 2-month lockdown in England. 8 hours. I saw pictures of the traffic jams of people trying to get out of London. They were running to the countryside for their lives, for their freedom. They gave them an 8-hour notice before they locked down. Based on this, now, based on this new strain, the Daily Mail reports that Carl Hennigan, he's a professor of evidence-based medicine at Oxford University, has expressed a little skepticism over this 70% figure, 70% more being more contagious. He said, I've been doing this job for 25 years, and I can tell you can't establish a quantifiable number in such a short time frame. Every expert is saying it's too early to draw such an inference. I would want to have very clear evidence rather than, quote, we think it's more transmissible. He went on to say it has massive implications. It's causing fear and panic, but we should not be in the situation when the government is putting out data that is unquantifiable, just like the data on masks, just like the data on lockdowns, just like the data on social distancing, just like the data on closing restaurants. Unquantifiable guesses, just wild flailing about of policy, labeled as science. Hennigan also said they are fitting the data to the evidence. They see cases rising, and they're looking for evidence to explain it. And this is, again, you know, this is England. Maybe only second. It's a pretty tight-knit group between England, the United States, and Canada for personal freedoms, a westernized society where we're supposed to be free people first, government down the line. And we're seeing these things based on just guesses, just hysterical, rambling proclamations. And this is what I say to particularly Vince, who calls into the show all the time. He thinks I'm denigrating anybody who died. No, I'm not taking COVID seriously. No, I'm telling you that what they're telling you to do are just wild guesses that have real world consequences. 270 million people at the verge of starvation, 8 million people plunged into poverty here in the United States in the last 3 months, 110,000 restaurants have gone under in the past 5 months. Based on guesses. And in many cases, like the masks, they actually know that they don't work. But they still mandate them. And it's bad enough that I have a hard time discussing this with adults who, largely in their personal lives, may be fairly rational people. You just believe the government is so special. The best of the best are at the CDC. The best of the best are at the FDA. The best of the best are at the NIH. The best of the best become our politicians and our, air quotes here in the studio, leaders. So they know what's best for us. We're not scientists, Mike. Well, they may call themselves scientists, but the proclamations and the things that they're doing right now are not at all based on science. They're hunches. They're best guess. They're virtue signaling that we've got to do something. As I say, as bad as it is, it's hard to have an intelligent conversation with an adult who's bought into the hysteria surrounding coronavirus. They are prepping the next generations to be even more compliant, if that's possible, even more compliant than the adults of today. I'm going to get to that when I come back. If you want to hear the sheer propaganda going after our children. Oh, this is I've talked about the climate change propaganda, that we're 10 years away from the earth being uninhabitable, we're all going to die, as being child abuse. Well, we are equally guilty of child abuse when it comes to coronavirus and infectious diseases. And the stuff you're about to hear, as far as I'm concerned, particularly around Christmas time, is equally abusive.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. We're talking a little bit of the COVID hysteria. We're going to get to the new round of bailouts that are going out. The government has acted. It was absolutely just disgusting to me when I watched them talk about the negotiations, what America has become. We have this corrupt political class essentially deciding the fates of millions and millions of Americans. Millions of small businesses. We're just waiting to see what they cause the problem, and then they leave us dangling on a thread as they decide where to send money that they don't have, from our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. It's just, it's despicable. So we'll certainly talk about that. But I wanted to get through this COVID stuff because as terrified as adults have become, it's insanity. You can tell I get tongue-tied here sometimes of what I'm seeing, the infantilization of an entire nation sent scurrying for the hills because life on planet Earth is not perfect. The virus has been around for all of recorded time. But they are doing a full court press on our children. And I'm going to play these clips, and I want you to remember that I believe the statistic still stands, say that three times fast, that a child under the age of 18 may have a better chance of being struck by lightning than dying from coronavirus. So keep that in mind as you listen to these clips as they begin to propagandize to. You got to get them early. I mean, it's like the school system. It's like the indoctrination of the schools that we've been witnessing over the past several decades. It is the indoctrination of fear and of the idea that, look, kids, we can protect you. Just the government knows what's best for you. Just follow our advice. Raising entire generations based on this. They've obviously been working on this for a while because it's affected a lot of grown-ups too. But the children, this is child abuse to me.
Will the vaccine be safe and available for kids?
When do you think a kid my age will be able to take the vaccine?
What about that, Dr. Fauci?
This is CNN in partnership with Sesame Street getting the kids to find out when their shot's going to be ready.
Kids and the vaccine.
Well, it's been an important tradition to preserve the safety of children. We're very concerned that we want to make sure we emphasize the safety of vaccines. So when you get a new vaccine, you generally want to show the safety and the efficacy in an adult population. Once you do, then you start doing trials, maybe a couple of months later in the children, so that you can quickly as possible get them the vaccine. So the reason why you're not hearing about our vaccinating children right now is because we want to wait a month or two. We're looking at January. We're going to start some trials in children.
I'm just going to ask the question. What parent? What parent who loves their children signs their child up for an experimental vaccine trial? Now, there are many adults who have signed up for the vaccine trial, and they believe they are doing some level of good for humanity. They believe that they are being brave. They are taking some level of risk because they think there is a benefit to everybody being vaccinated. That's a choice that they can make, and you could say it's an admirable choice. I think it's slightly misguided with this particular disease. Should this have been an Ebola breakout, I might have been on the front lines. If this thing was having people fall over in the streets and we legit couldn't go about our business, I might volunteer for a vaccine trial. But for this thing, but I understand the adults, but who gives their children over to have an experimental vaccine tested on them?
We'll start with children who are a bit older and work our way down so that hopefully within a few months we'll be able to tell children what I know we'll be able to say: the vaccine is safe and effective in you, and we're anxious to get you vaccinated. So just hang in there a couple of more months and we'll be in good shape.
Hang in there. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, not excited about getting any of my shots. But it gets actually worse. This is Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Listen to his little subtle propaganda for the kids.
Sanjay, you actually got the first of your two vaccines. Yes. It's a two-dose vaccine. Is that an Elmo Band-Aid that you're wearing?
Yes, it is.
I love it.
It's an Elmo.
An Elmo bandage. An Elmo Band-Aid.
Love it.
It's an Elmo Band-Aid, and I have my little Elmo doll even, because, you know, sometimes you need just a little bit of help to get through these things. But, you know, it's just as Dr. Fauci said, I honestly speaking, it really didn't hurt a bit. In fact, when I was getting the shot, I didn't actually even realize that the shot was already completed. I was sort of waiting for it, and then they...
That's probably because he got that same, we saw the one doctor who had the fake vaccine. The viewers, I can't remember where it was. They noticed that the plunger was already down when they supposedly put this shot into the guy's arm. Maybe that's why. Maybe Gupta didn't even get, he had one of those Hollywood retractable needles. Maybe that's why he didn't notice that the vaccine hadn't actually gone into him.
He said, "You're already done." I'm just being honest here. So if you're worried about the pinch at all that Dr. Fauci's talking about, it's really pretty minor.
There you go, kiddies. Just line up, roll up your sleeve. That does not hurt a bit. And to finish out this little round of propaganda here.
How did Santa get the vaccine? And is it safe for him to go in the house?
Will Santa still be able to visit me in coronavirus season? What if he can't go to anyone's house or near his reindeer?
Well, I have to say I took care of that for you because I was worried that you'd all be upset. So what I did a little while ago, I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself. Oh. I measured his level of immunity and he is good to go. He can come down the chimney. He can leave the presents. He can leave and you have nothing to worry about. Santa Claus is good to go.
This stuff just hurts my heart. Well, they have said out loud that they do not know if the vaccine will stop you from actually spreading this thing. And as I've said before, I think we are running a very large risk that Santa will be a super spreader, vaccinated or not, because they have not shown that this stops transmission. So I think this is very, very dangerous. So all that to do this full court press using CNN, Anthony Fauci, and Sesame Street to get kids excited about their shot for a disease that they have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than dying from COVID. We're going to give you an experimental vaccine that alters your RNA. There's a lot of people out there talking about, does this alter your DNA? I try very hard on this show to never, ever exaggerate. I do not know if it alters your DNA. I'll be honest, I don't quite understand the mechanism. I do know this is a brand new technology, and what this messenger RNA, mRNA, does with this vaccine is it sends this stuff in and convinces your body to create the spike protein, to create from your own body something that your body is not designed naturally to produce. That sounds a little risky to me. I don't know what that means. It could be absolutely a breakthrough in science, the likes of which we've never seen before. It will turn out to be a true benefit to humanity. But I am at least honest enough to know we have no idea yet. There were no animal studies, and there have only been 2 months' worth of studies in humans. So believe me, to your six-year-old child out there, they have no earthly idea. When your child decides to reproduce, your 16-year-old, who in 10 years is going to be having children, they have no earthly idea. They have said if you're planning on becoming pregnant in the next few months, don't take the vaccine. I wonder why. If it doesn't have any problems, if it's not, I don't know. When you replicate, when you give your body instructions to do something it's never done before, and then you reproduce, do you reproduce this new trait to the next generation? How's that working out? We have no idea. And even for the older people, I'm just going to play this clip real quick in closing on this. They were interviewing one of the health authorities up in British Columbia. I want you to listen to the statistic of who died in British Columbia.
Days we have had yet where we've had an additional 28 people die from COVID-19 bringing the total number of people who've died in British Columbia to 587. And all but two of these people are elders and seniors who were in long-term care homes in various places across BC.
500 plus people in British Columbia have died from coronavirus. How many of them were not elderly and in senior care facilities? Two. Two. What is that? It's less than one half of 1%. And do you know what happens in elder care facilities every single day in every single country of every single year, COVID or not? Elderly people in senior care facilities die. It's usually the last stop for people. In British Columbia, out of, what did she say, 586 deaths, two of those have been outside of senior care facilities. And yet we are going to be testing a vaccine on children, a brand new vaccine technology on children and adults in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s will be lining up and rolling up their sleeve to take an experimental vaccine in what will be the largest experiment on human beings in the history of the world.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
What I find most interesting these days is that while we are all supposed to kneel at the altar of science now, every time they say the word science, you're supposed to unquestioningly accept whatever they say. But much of what they say is not actual science. But a lot of people are doing real studies. I read one to you last week about masks don't work. Johns Hopkins did a study using data that is available to them that said there's no excess deaths. That study, of course, is removed. It wasn't science-y with the right outcome. Justin Hart, he's a data expert, did an analysis following COVID-19 data for several months. Yesterday, he sent out a thread on Twitter comparing states with mask mandates to states that didn't have mask mandates. And here's what he came up with. He looked at cases on days where mask mandates were in place versus when they were not, calculated the cases per day adjusted for population. States with a mask mandate had 27 cases per day per 100,000 people. Without a mask mandate, 17. Let me say that again. With a mask mandate, they were getting 27 cases per day per 100,000 people. With no mask mandate, they were only giving 17 cases per day. And it went on down here. I'm going through this thread. You can see it again. The guy's name is Justin Hart. It's at Justin_Hart. He addresses some of the objections that people will have to this. Well, we can never know for certain how much worse it would have been without masks. Yeah, that's true. We wouldn't know how much worse it could be if we all drove our cars in reverse. I mean, there's all kinds of unknowns with these things. But obviously, you're seeing the states that don't have mask mandates actually faring better. When he put in one of his Twitter threads, what I say is when I use my slogan, virus gonna virus, he says, maybe consider that the virus is beyond your control. And he hyperimposes six different states. And the surges, the peaks, and the troughs, they all are exactly the same, with the states with no mask mandate doing slightly better in most cases. And I read the study last time. Let me get down to one of these that I saw in here that was actually pretty interesting in the fact that Spain's serologic survey shows those always using masks got infected 25% more than those never using it. And so they're doing that in Spain. And it's just amazing to watch that this doesn't put a dent in any of the recommendations, does it? I mean, not a dent. They just continue to do the mask, I mean, even more severe now than it was back in the spring. And they're doing research on these. A guy named Kevin McKeeran said it's an intuitive hypothesis. Since masks doesn't kill the virus, it just collects them, reversing your natural defenses of expelling virus with large droplets that hit Earth. The mask accelerates evaporation through capillary action, making smaller droplets to allow deep inhalation. The idea being that if you were exposed to coronavirus in a mask, it gets through your mask, and when you blow it out, if you trap it in some spit or something like that, it just collects on the mask and you start inhaling, increasing your viral load each time you breathe in. Absolutely stunning stuff. At least these studies are being done, but they're like a tree falling in the forest. If nobody's around to hear it, the mainstream media certainly won't cover it, so that's why we do it here. And I'm going to give you this in closing on this stuff. There's a new pandemic coming. Klaus Schwab, the evil arch-villain at the World Economic Forum, is weighing in on what the next fear-mongering tactic will be.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
A cyber pandemic. So this is what's coming next. They're going to start shutting down the grids. If your compliance wasn't enough for them when it comes to COVID, they'll find better ways to control you by turning off the juice to your house and shutting down the hospitals.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I want to talk a little bit today about the new bailout plan. The masters of the universe, our overlords, have decided how to spend more of our grandchildren's money, where they should send it. I'm sure it's all very, very scientific. So we'll get into that today. I did want to mention, too, I don't want to miss the opportunity. You know, this Burks woman, the scarf lady for the COVID response team, Mike Pence's outfit there. Nah, she got caught. Multi-family, multi-generational holiday celebrations. Apparently this woman has got several homes in areas that have got some pretty pricey real estate. I'm not sure. How do you do that? Isn't she a government employee? What are we paying? What's her first name? Sandra? Is it Burks? Deborah Burks, I think. She's got one older woman. I think the woman is like 77, driving to one home to take care of children and then going back to her home where her 90-something-year-old husband with health problems lives. Doesn't really seem to be affecting their family much at all. Now, of course, Deborah Birx had some excuses. She said, oh, they went to go winterize one of their homes. You know, this is your government employee who's got a summer home. I don't use it too much during the winter. Well, for family gatherings, like for Thanksgiving. But they just went to go winterize it because they've got this second home that they don't really need to use that often. You know, can we just step back for just a second and realize how upside down this country has become when these health authorities are bossing us around and violating their own rules, and just to find out they've got, I think she has three homes, all paid for by you. Remember that as you see you get your end-of-the-year bonus where they tax it a little higher. I never quite understood that. Why is a bonus taxed at a higher rate than normal pay? Well, anyway, just because it is. What are you going to do? Anyway, just more rules for thee and not for me coming from Deborah Birx, who's been lecturing us nonstop for 9 months. And I got to tell you, so funny. Back in March, I said, look at this Fauci guy and this Birx. They seem kind of calm and rational. I guess I should have done a little bit more research on these people. The press conferences on coronavirus came very quickly. I guess I just didn't react in time to try to figure out what kind of snake oil salesman these people were and where their dollars come from. But anyway, speaking of where dollars come from, Congress got together in the 11th hour to fund this government. I was cheering for a good old-fashioned government shutdown, but they have passed this new $900 billion. Let's see what the total on this thing is. $908. That's $900 billion that we don't have. I guess I should read this little one sentence from a story last week. Anyway, the U.S. Congress is on the verge of voting to spend $3 trillion this month alone as the national debt climbs to $28 trillion. They're going to spend $3 trillion this month. It was not that long ago that $3 trillion was the budget for the entire government for the entire year, including military and everything else. Now we're spending that in a month. I wish I had a visual medium to communicate with you on, because I'd like to show you some of the charts of the money creation here, the chart of the N1 money supply. It's really very fascinating to look at. And for the longest time, I think the chart starts maybe in the mid to late 50s up through today. And for the longest time, it's just a flat line going along the bottom. You know, money was out there. They weren't creating a whole lot more. It's trending slightly up, but there's not much of anything. And then you hit, it might have been the 90s, it starts to accelerate a little bit. And then you get to the financial crisis, and it's kind of like going up at a 45-degree angle. If you can imagine driving up a hill. And then at the top of that hill, you get there, and it's, then you get on a rocket. The money creation in 2020 is going almost straight up. It's not a slight increase from the raise that's been going on for the last 12 years. No, it is a rocket ship. It's an elevator. It went from an escalator to an elevator in this money printing. I would imagine if I looked at the money printing in Zimbabwe or the Weimar Republic from history, we would see a very similar chart. This is not going to end well. It is going to end in tears. But that's where we are. So we've got in the new stimulus bill, you're getting a $600 check. You're getting a $600. They've turned your life upside down. You're going to end up with $1,800 over the course of an entire calendar year. You're getting a $600 check if you make under $75,000. This does include a $300 per week and enhanced unemployment benefits through March. And also, this is for gig workers and long-term unemployed. Those programs for them will continue. $284 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program, I guess, for forgivable loans to small businesses. Then we start getting into $82 billion for education. I'm not quite sure how you need more money for education when they aren't educating our children much anymore. $54.3 billion for K-12 schools, $22.7 billion for colleges, and governors would just get $4.05 billion to spend on education aid at their discretion. $10 billion for child care, $15 billion in grants for theater operators and owners of small performance venues, $25 billion in rental assistance, extension of the moratorium on evictions. I'm not sure how this is working. The government can just force a landlord to keep a deadbeat tenant in their place, sacrificing. I don't know if that rental relief is going out to landlords or not. $13 billion more in funds for food stamp and child nutrition. $30 billion for procurement and distribution of the COVID vaccine. That's good news for the pharmaceutical companies. And $1.8 billion in tax credit for businesses to provide paid leave for people. And it also includes $15 billion in payroll assistance to airlines. Now, we've talked about this a lot. This is on top of the $25 billion they got earlier this year. That takes them up to at least $40 billion right now that the airlines have received, which is an interesting figure because it's almost back up to the $45 billion that airlines spent to buy back their own stock instead of, you know, putting some money aside for a rainy day. Airlines took $45 billion of their money. I think it was 96% of their free cash flow to buy back their stock, to goose their stock prices so management could manipulate their stock options, qualify for bonuses. It's just financial engineering of an entire industry. They spent $45 billion doing that, and they reaped the rewards of it, right? Executives and shareholders that own airline stocks, these stocks went up. But then it left them cash poor heading into 2020 when this situation we have in 2020 befell the airlines. Is it befell or befalled? And so now the American taxpayer is going to make them whole for all that cash that they spent buying back their own stock for their own financial gain. Our grandchildren will pay back the money eventually, or they'll suffer through the consequences of a dollar collapse so that the airlines can walk away with the profits they had rather than paying the price. See what happens. Airlines, pretty notorious for going in and out of bankruptcy, but apparently that is off the table now. They never sacrifice anything because, see, here's the problem is airline goes into bankruptcy, their stock goes down. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. We can't have that. This is really pretty shocking stuff, but it's just become normal at this point. Again, this bill, if you remember back when they bailed out the banks back in 2008, I believe it was a $600 billion bank bailout. I watched The Big Short again this weekend. If you've not seen the movie The Big Short, it is one of the best movies I've ever seen. It may be because I'm a bit of a financial nerd, but it talks about exactly what the banks were doing with packaging mortgages together, the things that led to the housing crisis. And I think it does a great job for the layperson out there of explaining exactly what went on. But it really highlights, I mean, it's essentially, it's a dramatized story. Steve Carell's in it. Brad Pitt's in it. But it is telling the story of certain people who bet against the housing market and why they did it. But it chronicles exactly what went on. And when you see the criminality, what the banks were doing, it's absolutely stunning. In a nutshell, essentially what it was the banks made a ton of money selling these mortgage bonds. And they didn't have enough mortgages to package in these bonds that they were making so much money out of. So that's when they started. See, a lot of people look at this and go, well, it was those Democrats that forced the banks to loan to people who didn't deserve homes. Because you play this red and blue team crap that is killing this country. No, the reason they started writing so many mortgages was just to fulfill the need in the bond market because that's where the profits were being made. It didn't have anything to do with legislation or warm, touchy-feely wanting to let a more diverse group of people access home ownership. It had nothing to do with anything except pure, unadulterated greed of creating mortgage bonds. And so they did that until they realized that they had loaned so many bad loans to fill up these bonds that it was about to all come crashing down. And so what they did, this is your Goldman Sachs, you know, the Goldman Sachs, the company that's got our Treasury Secretary installed right now, Steven Mnuchin, Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase. When they realized that these bonds were about to explode, they decided to start offloading them to clients. They didn't want them on their books anymore. Before the cascade, they knew what was going to happen. They knew these things were going to have real problems and were going to go belly up and become worthless. So instead of admitting that and taking their losses, paying the price for their greed on the way up and creating the housing crisis in the first place, they started unloading them. Where did they unload them? Pension plans, charities, anybody who has to, you know, endowments. They started selling all their big institutional clients all of this garbage. And as soon as they got them all sold out, they got their money out of these things, they let them fall. And then on the backside of that, the American taxpayer. And strangely enough, it was Hank Paulson was Treasury Secretary at the time during the H.W. Bush administration. Guess where he was from? Oh, yeah, that's Goldman Sachs. So in response to bank greed and malfeasance and criminal activity, I mean, I would imagine that you can get in trouble for selling somebody a product that you know is worthless and selling it to them if you know it's going down in value. You know, you're selling somebody an investment product that you know is worthless. You're selling it to them at full price. And instead of paying the price for that, the American taxpayer ponied up $600 billion to bail these people out. And we haven't learned our lesson. We did. And the thing is that 80% of the American people were against banker bailouts back in 2006. But it happened anyway, didn't it? We're doing the same thing now with airlines. There will be more the banks are being bailed out essentially just about every single day by the Federal Reserve printing up money and it is a stunning thing to see the fact that, and again, I know everybody's so involved in the red team versus blue team stuff. Most people don't even notice these things. But we are absolutely doing it again. There was a couple of stories that I wanted to bring up today, kind of getting into the idea of this red team versus blue team stuff that everybody's so heavily invested in. Yeah, there was election fraud. Are they going to expose it or aren't they? I don't know. Is Trump going to declare martial law or no? I don't know. Is he going to be at the inauguration? I don't know. That's all the political theater stuff that's really energizing people. And look, the election fraud, extremely serious situation. I don't know where we go from here if it's not uncovered and not corrected. But I'd like to, you know, everybody else is talking about the election fraud stuff, to be honest with you. I don't like to go where everybody else goes. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been happening during the last 4 years and some that are happening right now during the Trump administration. Nobody's paying any attention to because it's happening during Trump. And one of them is a massive assault on the Second Amendment. Nobody seems to be talking about it. During the Trump administration, Trump's ATF going after gun ownership and not a peep from any conservatives. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Yeah.
Now, I am fully aware that in the time of election chaos like we're seeing now, and we want to uncover it. And look, the bottom line, as far as I can see, my assessment on election fraud is if they do not find some people that did the fraud, convict them of something, or have them plead guilty of something, it may not be time to actually take them through court and convict them. They need to scare the bejesus out of the people that were involved. And it had to have been hundreds and hundreds of people. You mean to tell me they can't find a couple of small fries in one of these towns, start twisting them, getting them to plead guilty for something, turn in some of the people above? That's the only way you're going to get through this thing. Unless you get the martial law that I think a lot of people are excited about now. If there was a hint that Barack Obama would have declared martial law in 2016, oh my gosh, people would have been up in arms. But this is, I guess, somehow different. I'm not really sure exactly why. But Trump's martial law is good martial law. So I totally acknowledge the fact I'm about to embark on some levels of heresy right now, because we should be talking about the election stuff, but just some stories come across. I find it hard to ignore these things. I'm also going to tell you right now, if there's a movement out there for Trump 2024, should Trump lose this, I am going to dissuade that in the strongest possible terms for the next 4 years. Now, if you like Trump's ideas, then let Trump be a kingmaker, but you better put somebody different in there. If you think 4 years from 2024 to 28 would be somehow different than 16 to 20, oh, it might get you jollies a little bit. Yeah, we stuck it to him. We got the rematch, and he won this time, or whatever you think is going to happen. But the results are not great. I don't know if you've noticed. I just read you the $900 billion program on top of the first $2.2 trillion program. Congress is spending $3 trillion total just this month alone in December. Trump's not delivering anything close to the constitutional republic you believe he is. And that takes me to this story here. This is on Free Beacon, Washington Free Beacon. New guidance from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms could put millions of Americans in legal jeopardy. The ATF published a notice Thursday. Now, I know I'm supposed to ignore this. I know. The ATF published a notice Thursday that would require millions of AR-15 pistols and similar firearms, which are designed with braces that strap onto a shooter's forearm, to be either registered, turned in, destroyed, or dismantled. But the standards laid out for determining the device's legality, such as caliber or weight, provide no objective measures, and the agency said it may also use undisclosed factors to judge the legality of the devices. Gun Owners of America is apparently making some waves about this, but I thought it was something maybe worth talking about. And these things go on. It doesn't matter. You know, my intro to the show tells you, red team, blue team, same puppets holding up, same people, except not Donald Trump. Donald Trump, he's not a politician, Mike. There is no top-down reform to this system. It's going to be bottom-up, but when half of the bottom is always in love with whatever president is in office, it never actually happens. And I'm going to remind you of this as we see this ATF ruling coming out during the Trump administration. I remind you of this clip a while back that was a big red flag. You know, Trump doesn't have a lot of core beliefs is the problem that I have with Donald Trump. He is a politician. He says things that he knows people like to hear.
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Well, the category.
This was a press conference, you know, where they let him in around the big mahogany table. This was after one of the shooting events. I can't remember which one. Did you ever think we would live in a time where we were wishing the only problems we were having were some of these shooting episodes?
You spoke about it, Mr. President. Gun violence restraining orders, they're called. California actually has a version of this. And I think
what they're discussing is red flag laws. Red flag laws. You know, you're familiar with these. We haven't talked about them in a while, but they're certainly bubbling up beneath the surface. And you say, well, I know, it's very dangerous because you know Joe Biden's going to act them. Well, there's a very real possibility of that. But this is when Trump kind of said a little something to me about his understanding of the Second Amendment.
In your meeting with governors earlier this week, individually and as a group, we spoke about states taking steps. But the focus is to literally give families and give local law enforcement additional tools if an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others.
And so this is Mike Pence. This is Mike Pence, your Republican vice president. He's a cyborg, so they programmed him to say this. But this is Mike Pence talking up red flag laws.
Allow due process so that no one's rights are trampled, but the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons in the possession of that.
And here it comes. Here it comes. And Donald Trump's got a better idea than just the red flag laws they're proposing, which is going to court and then just deeming somebody a danger and then just going and taking their firearms. Donald Trump, he doesn't like to wait on that stuff. He's a man of bold action.
Like, take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times, by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Yeah, there we go. There's our champion of our Second Amendment rights. There's the greatest president of all times. He's got his ATF rolling out new laws. Millions of gun owners could be affected by this. You have to either destroy, dismantle, or register these guns now. And then there was this little story, too. I guess I'll throw this one in here, too, because it's the same thing. This is your Department of Homeland Security during a Republican administration. People's most worn accessories of 2020, face masks, mark an unexpected new constant in people's lives, providing necessary protection against COVID-19. No, they're not necessary. They don't work. But they're also known to pose some trouble for contemporary facial recognition systems. Homeland Security Department, one of the government's biggest biometrics systems users, is now steering research to confront the complexities limiting existing technology and help push forward tools to safely verify people's identities at security checkpoints in a pandemic. This is a story on nextgov.com. Here's the sub-headline here. Almost 600 human volunteers participated in a recent technology evaluation. So Health and Human Services is working very hard in their facial recognition software to make sure that they can still identify us even if we have the face diaper on. Yeah, I've got to tell you, I'm feeling more and more free every day in Trump's America.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Sorry that I went where you're not supposed to go. I questioned some things that are coming out of the Trump administration. More things have been filed. I think they got another Supreme Court thing filed. There's a nuanced approach to my take on Trump and the elections. If the election was fraudulent, certainly a lot of evidence seems to be out there that there was really big problems with the election. I don't have any faith that they will succeed in challenging this. But if there was fraud out there, it needs to be uprooted. People need to go to jail. See, here's the problem with Donald Trump over the last 4 years. He didn't set any precedents for law and order at the high levels. During the Trump administration, all the same people skated for all the same crimes they've skated with for forever. Oh, it was cute when you got to chant drain the swamp, but it wasn't actually a deeply held belief in Donald Trump's mind. He didn't hire the people that would help him do that. As a matter of fact, there's a story out now about one of the swamp creatures that Trump brought into his administration. So the nuanced approach to my thing on the election is, If there was election fraud and Trump actually won this thing and Joe Biden got a bunch of fraudulent votes, it should be uncovered. The people who are responsible for it should be jailed and Trump should be returned to the White House. Here's the difference between me and most people. I know what I'm getting if Donald Trump serves another 4 years is not a whole hell of a lot. He did not impress me over the past 4 years. So while he should be president again, if that is the legitimate outcome of this election, but I know we're in deep, deep trouble if even if Donald Trump is our president for the next 4 years. The spending. All of the things that I know I'm supposed to ignore. The spending, the Federal Reserve printing up endless dollars. The swamp creatures in. After answering questions during Pan Am 103 terrorist bombing probe press conference, Attorney General William Barr says he sees no reason to appoint a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. Well, let's listen to him. This is the guy. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know my credibility is suspect because I'm not in love with Donald Trump, but I did warn you about William Barr the day he was announced.
Off topic. You know, do you believe there should be a special counsel appointed to investigate the allegations against Hunter Biden?
On your first question, we think that the prospects are very good. Masoud is in the custody of the current government of Libya, and we have no reason to think that that government is interested in associating itself with this heinous act of terrorism. And so we are optimistic that they will turn him over to face justice. On the second question, I think to the extent that there's an investigation, I think that it's being handled responsibly and professionally. Currently within the department, and to this point, I have not seen a reason to appoint a special counsel, and I have no plan to do so before I leave.
I mean, it's almost funny. I mean, it's hard to not say I told you so, but I told you so. From day one, I've told you Bill Barr is a fixer. He's a Washington, D.C. deep state fixer. His job coming into the Trump administration, I don't know who told Donald Trump to hire this guy, but his job was to go into the White House and make sure that none of the criminal investigations actually got any head of steam. Nothing actually changed in Washington, D.C. He was the stopgap. He went in and told Donald Trump everything that you got to say to Donald Trump. You praise him. You talk about what a great president is, how strong he is. You flatter Donald Trump, become a good yes man to him, to his face, and then his administration goes out and subverts everything that Donald Trump professes to be for. And so how do you uncover election fraud at the highest levels when the reason people feel like they can get away with that stuff is because they've seen that the law doesn't apply to those people. Nobody was arrested for any crimes during the last 4 years. Nobody. Kevin Kleinsmith. Oh, don't we all feel better about the corruption in our government being rooted out during the Trump administration? Kevin Kleinsmith. Who's Kevin Kleinsmith? I don't know. Good question. He's the only person I've seen that has had to plead guilty to some level of something when it came to the Russia investigation. I'm not even sure what part he played. He's such a non-entity. And so, of course, they felt confident in going in and monkeying around in the election because nobody goes to jail. And Donald Trump brought in the exact people into his administration to make sure that nothing changed. And I am seriously struggling with, I should probably do it as a call-in show. I'll have to spring it on you. I don't want to tell people when I'm going to do this show because I would imagine it would be my lowest rated show ever. A look back at the last 4 years of the Trump administration. I don't know what you people are clinging to at this point. Now look, this is not Trump derangement. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. But boy, I was expecting some things out of it. And what's almost funny at this point, I mean, it's almost comical, is that the one thing that Donald Trump did do is he got a lot of conservative judges on the bench, which I like. That's a great accomplishment. Apparently, Donald Trump handled that task over to the Federalist Society. Essentially, they were there to vet, which is a great idea and kind of what you would expect from a business person, you know, to kind of delegate that out to a group that shares some of his beliefs on getting conservatives on the courts. And Federalist Society was very active in finding nominees for all of these small judgeships. That's a genius move right there. I like that a lot. And he did it. But doesn't seem to be paying off at this point. Not the judges at the Supreme Court level, not the conservative judges that were appointed out here in the hinterlands. So that was one of the big accomplishments that most people point to in the Trump administration. But I got to tell you, it doesn't really feel like it's paying off, does it? As court after court after court rejects, it's getting a little worn thin to say, well, this is all Obama's fault. The new ATF rules are not Obama's fault. The new facial recognition stuff from the HHS is not Obama's fault. All of these things are happening during the Trump administration, and again, including this William Barr guy. So he sees no need to get a special counsel. Of course he doesn't, because that was his job in the first place. Meanwhile, in Poland, you know, one of the things Trump was threatening to veto the defense bill, unless it stripped out the 230 protections. Again, for 4 years, conservatives, supporters of Donald Trump, have been deplatformed and censored for 4 years. Coming up on 5 years, even during the Trump campaign, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Google were all jumping on and censoring all these conservative people. So the last 4 years, was anything done to counter that? No. But I got to tell you, from where I sit, when I look at this, it seems like, well, when they started slapping warnings on Donald Trump's tweets, when they started actually pulling some of his tweets and deleting a couple of his tweets, suddenly then the 230 exception was extremely important to get after. Now, I don't know. I'm going to have to refer to some people that are smarter than me to know. See, I know if you take away that 230 protection, you're actually going to have less speech online. The system right now is corrupt. It seems to me the answer is everybody get the hell off of Twitter, off of Facebook, off of Google. But that doesn't seem to be working. People won't do things that might actually work themselves. They're waiting for Donald Trump to save social media for you. So you just keep patronizing all of these horrible platforms and social media companies. You keep them propped up while you complain about them by using all of these things, feeding them your data so that they can sell you as a digital file to advertisers or whoever the hell else they're selling this stuff to. Well, I look back at the last 4 years. I don't know what everybody thinks they got that is so great that it should start again in 2024. And then usually what I hear of those things is, well, he couldn't because, and then I get the reason. The media was after him. They came after him for the rest. The Democrats wouldn't do this or do that. Well, nobody campaigns on, hey, I'm going to get all these things done if everybody cooperates with me. If the media is fair and nice to me, I'm going to get a bunch of stuff done. If the Democrats are nice to me and praise me, then I'll be able to get a bunch of stuff done. That's never the game in Washington, D.C., is it? You got to finesse them. You got to go around them or over them or through them. But it's used as an excuse. I'm sorry, it's the Bill Barr thing just kind of tipped me over the edge. Meanwhile, in Poland, there's a Polish bill. It threatens a $2.2 million fine for social media companies who censor lawful speech. Poland. Talked last week about the fact Mexico's president said lockdowns are just basically dictatorship, totalitarian stuff. He won't do it because Mexico is more free than the United States now, and apparently Poland is actually protecting free speech better than the United States is. My idea of being an expat and bugging out of this country at some point to enjoy my retirement somewhere a little bit less chaotic and a little bit more less totalitarian is looking better and better every day. Maybe I need to put Poland on my list.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I am really hoping that 2020 was an anomaly and just it somehow constrains itself within that calendar year. I don't have a whole lot of faith in that, but it sure would be nice to think that maybe on New Year's Day of 2021, it just signals a better year. It's just that most of these things aren't really constrained by time. They're trends. But you know, you see the headline today that the big volcano in Hawaii, Kilauea, is going off. We talked about the aliens. We got 10 days left in 2020 to get the aliens out there. Go ahead and let their presence be known if they're out there. We got volcanoes, I would imagine. We got 10 more days for what? Earthquakes, tsunamis. What else can they throw at us in the final 10 days? Well, maybe we'll get martial law. Some good trends are happening too, though. I did notice that in New York City, a lot of restaurants have gotten together and are starting to disobey. Did you ever think, just a year ago, just 10 months ago, did you ever think it would be a crime to open your own business? I'm not even talking about starting a new business. I'm just, did you ever think it would be a crime to go in and turn the key on a restaurant that you've had for 20 years and serve food to people who want to be served food? Well, that is now a crime in many places. You got a little girl who went down to the Grand Caymans. She stood 4 months in prison for violating COVID. They've had almost no COVID in the Cayman Islands, but they've decided that they need to jump through all the hoops of quarantining and masks and all the other things that we've proven on this show, or not me, but researchers have proven don't work. This poor girl is doing 4 months in the Cayman jail for violating COVID protocols. But in New York City, there's groups of restaurants that have finally said enough is enough. They're going to open, and they're really going after Cuomo. They're pretty much all saying they're going to ban him from any of their restaurants. And that is the kind of activism I can get behind. It's the individual activism. It's the idea that the failed idea from all of you, and I really implore even Trump supporters to understand, Trump, even if he had been effective, he's not going to reform this thing. He is not the savior that people think that he is. And I demonstrate that on the show pretty consistently, or I point to what I think is evidence of that. A change is going to come from the bottom up, and to, you know, kick politicians out of your places of business, that would be a fantastic start. It's not violent. You've got private property rights. When these people overstep their bounds, close down your business, uproot your life at their whim, not based on any science, just some idea of what may work, may have got to be seen doing something. Just start refusing them service to the political class. This political class is a class of parasites. And everything that is going to change anything is going to come from the bottom up. In California, they're talking about recalling Gavin Newsom, which would be fantastic. Put a stake in that guy's career because he's going to be a presidential contender in the years coming. Good-looking guy, well-spoken. He's all on board with Green New Deal type stuff. But he's destroyed lives in California this year. Just absolutely destroyed millions of lives in California with his ridiculous edicts from Sacramento, and so the people there are starting to get together and recall him. Hopefully they won't have any faith in the person they put in over him. All of this change comes from the bottom up. It's always fascinating for me to watch. When I watch the morning news, and we go through all of these things, you know, the terror headlines that lead everything off, we're all going to die, COVID this, COVID that, vaccine's going to save us. I mean, they can't even roll out the vaccine the right way. I don't want it. Any delay in the vaccine is a victory for mankind, as far as I'm concerned. But it just shows to the incompetence of government. How much money have they thrown at Operation Warp Speed, money they didn't have? How much have our great-grandchildren spent on Operation Warp Speed? Well, that is assuming we can have great-grandchildren coming up, because there's some people who say this vaccine may make you sterile, but who knows? We've thrown everything at it. We still couldn't. All the practicing, they talked about all the dry runs they had done for all of the shippers and moving the boxes from place to place to get the vaccine out in record time, and then it comes and they can't quite do it. You got the CDC gets $40 billion a year. Their whole job, it is the Centers for Disease Control, and it turns out, well, they can't control a disease. And it's the red team versus blue team that stop people from realizing, you know, we've got a lot of differences between Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives. There's time to hash that stuff out. But I tell you what, if you keep trying to give government entities more and more power when your team is there, only to scream about it when the other team takes control, that's what's been going on. This thing has been ratcheting up for decades and decades, 60, 70, 80 years now. We've been doing the same thing. And there's more power in these restaurants that won't serve Andrew Cuomo than there is in any federal politician getting elected and then going up there and just telling you what you want to hear and doing absolutely nothing about any of it except making it worse. And that includes Donald Trump. I'm going to have to sneak out of the studio here and hope that the other talk show host here don't. I don't run into them. They won't be happy. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just so stubbornly independent that I just cannot get on board with any politician for any reason ever, even if they are good. I've got some blind spots myself, but I got to tell you, top-down reform is not coming. It's going to have to come bottom-up.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.